Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because you are great and greatly to be praised. There is none holy as the Lord. Thank you, Father, for the great love that you have towards us and for revealing this love to us. Now we understand and know that you are the one, the only living God. And we thank you for the incredible sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bring us redemption when we were condemned. And grace for us, O Lord, we thank you. Now, O Lord, as we enter into your word today, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. So let it be, even today, this morning and afternoon, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning, good afternoon, welcome. I'm going to get into this right away. Today's lesson, the wisdom pillar of understanding. Now, this might be one of the longer lessons today because I got so much on the topic of understanding, but I'm going to try to go through it quickly. And after this, we will be doing the sound judgment and also wrap it up. So we've been covering the series of wisdom. We started with the attributes of wisdom, and we explained what the seven pillars of wisdom are. And we've done the fear of the Lord, we've done prudence, we've done knowledge, you know, we've done discretion, we've done counsel, we've done those five. And we're going today, we're going to do understanding. Now, so let's go. Another word for understanding might be insight. We're going to use understanding because that's what the Bible calls it. But it might also be insight. We'll start here at Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to have a lot of scriptures. I hope my scripture helpers are ready. Proverbs 24 verses 3 to 4. You know we've read this text multiple times throughout this series, and it is so important, and that's why we keep reading it, you know. So we're going to read it again today to kick off this lesson. Proverbs 24 and verse 3, it says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. You know, so understanding is what establishes the house. Now that means wisdom might build it, but if there's no understanding, it may not be established. So that is very important right away about understanding. It is a pillar of wisdom, as we see right there in that verse. Wisdom is the principal thing, right? We are told in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. But it is understanding that actually makes it the principal thing. So let's read Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So, you know, it's like understanding, say it will exalt, you exalt her, it will promote you, to bring you honor, bring you, I mean, so many different things. Understanding is so key. Probably one of my favorite pillars of this, you know, pillars of wisdom. But, you know, they all interact. They all work together. So we see that understanding is the thing that makes wisdom the principal thing. It is very rare and priceless, but God knows where it is found. And then I'm going to give us some definitions in a minute. Job chapter 28, verses 12 to 23. I can't read it. It's a long text. But, you know, understanding is found in the Lord. And, you know, we talked about, you know, the inspiration of the Almighty all the time that gives understanding. But let me read a portion of this long text to us in Job chapter 28. I'll just read a portion. So where is wisdom to be found? And where is the place of understanding? Well, man knoweth not the price thereof. This is Job chapter 28 verse 12. I'm now in verse 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The deaf say, it is not in me. The sea says, it is not with me. Cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx and even the sapphire. The gold and crystal cannot compare to it, and the exchange of it, you know, shall not be for jewels or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Now, you see that it's talking about wisdom and understanding interchangeably here. It says, the topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Where then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? You can see how he put wisdom and understanding right there, side by side. Well, seeing that it is hid from the eyes of all living, you know, but it comes from the Lord. We're gonna get into that. In fact, you can read this whole all the way to the end, you know. But now at the end he says, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord. So this is, he's going to put down what he understands as understanding here, what he knows to be understanding. He says, and behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now, not just the beginning of wisdom, but that is wisdom itself. And to depart from evil is understanding. So that's the best summary of it all. You know, understanding is what causes you to depart from evil. And there's many other aspects of understanding that we're going to get into today. Well, let's give some definitions. It is the ability of deep comprehension, perception, and discernment. Like I say, I always give some definitions, some of them from dictionary, some of them from the Holy Spirit. Let's put it all together.
You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm showing the poor connection thing. Well, let's pray that the room will be fine in Jesus' name. Let's have a clear room because this is an important lesson. We ask that the Lord will give us a clear room. We bind the forces of interruption, all the waves in the network and electronics and things like that that may cause disruption. Let them be handcuffed together. They will not be able to interrupt with us today. Now, I want to give this lesson by the grace of God. So the Lord grant us that in Jesus' name. Now, you know, I was saying that there are some definitions about understanding that I would like to give. It is the place and the ability of deep comprehension, perception, and discernment. Number two, it is the knowledge of or familiarity with a particular thing, and it is a skill in dealing with or handling something. All of that is understanding. Number three, it is a superior power of discernment or enlightened intelligence. So you can see all these things about understanding. Now, you know, the entrance of God's word. One of my favorite verses. You hear me say it every single day. Hardly any time I get up to speak, you know, in my prayer, that's usually the first thing I would say, or around the first things, because, you know, it is so true. The entrance of God's word into the heart brings light and gives understanding to the simple. You know, that is Psalm 119 and verse 130. But then the scripture goes on to command us to not lean to our own understanding, but to trust in the Lord for inspiration. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, lean not to your understanding, you know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Now, Psalm 111 and verse 10. You know, here's one other way to get good understanding. By following the word of God. He says, they that do his commandments will get good understanding. That's Psalm 111 verse 10. And of course, you know, my favorite scripture on understanding and inspiration, Job chapter 32 and verse 8. You know, there is a spirit in my hand. You know, this man, Elihu, he waited for people who are older than him to speak. But when there was no good wisdom coming out of their mouth, you know, when they had no answer, then he said, well, you know, I thought days would speak. You know, I thought years would declare it. But let me tell you something, he said. You know, this thing, the wisdom and so forth, doesn't always come by age. He said, but there is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Powerful, powerful, powerful. And if you know how to walk this particular scripture into any situation that you are in, you will always come out with better outcomes. Guaranteed. I've tried it multiple times. There are people who have heard me teach on it that have been trying it. In fact, I will invite them later to give testimony on it. They've been trying it and it's been working. It's incredible. You know, once you depart from not leaning on your understanding and you trust in the Lord, he can bring incredible inspiration. Now, to depart from evil is understanding. Job chapter 28 and verse 28. We've been talking about, where does this understanding come from? We know it comes from the Lord. It comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. Here's another, a couple of other scriptures that can help us with that. Knowledge, understanding come from the Lord, but we know that we have to seek after these things diligently. You know, we already read the one in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. But let me also add Proverbs chapter 2. You can take a look at verses 1 to 6. Now, these are the things that we must do. He says, if you receive my words, hide my commandments in your heart, and so forth, you know, you incline your ear unto wisdom, apply your heart unto understanding. Every time he talks about, you know, wisdom, he puts understanding right next to it. You know, he said, look, you have to search for it diligently. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Even, you know, even for us to get that fear of the Lord, which we call, you know, the first pillar, you have to have understanding to even get it. You know, so to understand the fear of the Lord, to find the knowledge of God, you know, and so forth. For the Lord giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know, and it laid up sound wisdom. I call it sound judgment for the righteous. You know, Jesus himself, you know, we're told, you know, in Isaiah chapter 11, the Lord, you know, this prophecy was given about the Christ, you know, how he would come, how God would equip him, you know, with, you know, the tools basically that he would need during his earthly ministry. It talks about the spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Listen to this. And the Lord shall make him quick in understanding the fear of the Lord. So even the fear of the Lord, there's an understanding behind it, just like we just read in Proverbs chapter 2. So understanding the fear of the Lord. And that tells you how important understanding is. If it is even the thing that can make us get the fear of the Lord into our lives. And so, but we've seen that the only where it comes from is from the Lord. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 24, powerful text. A house may be built by wisdom, but it's by understanding that it's established. Well, the house is your life. It also means your marriage. You know, So if you do not have understanding, these things will crumble. Your life may crumble. That's not your portion in Jesus' name. Understanding is critical. Hold up the house. Marriage may crumble. I pray that we get understanding so these things will be established. Bible say it is established by understanding. And through knowledge, the chambers are filled with precious things. Now, God gave Daniel and his three companions knowledge and skill. You know, we read, gave them in all learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now, people don't know that that's actually understanding that made him to know all those visions and dreams. Daniel chapter 1, you know, verses 17 to 20, you know, talks about Daniel and his companions, how God endowed them with this gift of understanding. You see, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel, especially, had understanding in all visions and dreams. Powerful stuff, you know, that God, you know, endowed him with. I mean, he could understand dark sentences, dissolve doubts, and different things that God, you know, gave to him. Now, understanding is key, even when you talk of the things of the gospel. In producing real fruit, when one hears the word of the kingdom, that's so important. And Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the parable of the sower, which many of us know. But I'm going to just read. And when Jesus began to give the interpretation of the parable, you know, I'm just going to read verse 19 and maybe verse 23. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, this is Matthew 13 and 19. When anyone, listen to this. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is the seed that fell by the wayside. So, Jesus is even telling us how critical understanding is to even the gospel. And you hear the gospel of the kingdom and you have no understanding, Jesus said, then the devil is going to come and pluck it out of your heart. But then how can a man get understanding? If I need understanding to understand the word of God, I mean, to appreciate it, to know it, how can I get it then? Well, it comes from the Lord. By the inspiration of the Almighty. And we're going to pray about that before we leave the room today. You know, so now, verse 23 says, but he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it and beareth fruit. You know, and so forth. And it brings forth 160 or 30-fold. So you will see that to even be able to bear fruit, understanding is critical. You hear the word of God. Now, we're told that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But if you don't have understanding, it won't do you much good. You know, understanding, according to Jesus here, is what leads to bearing of fruit. So it's important for us to pray for understanding. You know, not just reading the word by letter only, but that God will give us understanding, not just hearing the word, which is like engaging in the flesh, but that God will give you understanding. Now, comprehension, we know is understanding. But we read the definition already. But let's see how Paul prayed for his converts or the people that he, you know, the young disciples at the time. Ephesians chapter 3, we read from verse 17. He says, you know, I pray, well, let me read from verse 16, that God will grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you'll be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, we know that, you know, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length, the depth and the height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God, that you may be able to comprehend. The word here is understand. You know, be able to understand it, to be able to grasp it in its entirety. You know, so understanding is so key, even into not only the basic things of the kingdom, but also the deeper things. Now, scholars and doctors of the law, let's look at some examples. Doctors of the law, scholars of, you know, philosophy and so forth, they were amazed at the understanding that Jesus had at the age of 12. Luke chapter 2. I mean, you may know this story where they had taken Jesus to do certain things, you know, which they do annually. And then, you know, when they were leaving, he was nowhere to be found. They thought was in the company. And when they went back to look for him, they found him, the Bible says, in the, you know, they just found him sitting around scholars and, you know, all these people. And they were like, my goodness. And even those people, they were looking at him. He was just a young man. He says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him, now, these were scholars of law and philosophers and doctors and so forth. Now, these were not doctors of medicine. These were doctors of law, philosophy. And, you know, and then he said, they said concerning him, they said, wow. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Not only was he asking them questions, you know, he would give answers even to what he was asking. I mean, they were amazed at his understanding. And Jesus had that because that was prophesied that that would be upon him. Had that at an early age. Now, great understanding, we are told, will help to keep you away from being hasty to wrath. Great understanding. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. You know, we alluded to this in another one of the pillars earlier, you know, but he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. So, great understanding will teach you how to be slow to wrath. I mean, slow to getting angry. You know, that comes from that quality of knowing how to control your anger. You are told here that that indicates that you have great understanding. You know, control your emotions, control your anger. It comes from having understanding. Now, let's look at a few more things about this. A person with understanding knows, again, when to keep his mouth shut. You know, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28. Proverbs 17 and verse 28. It says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding, which means, if you have understanding, you will know when to keep your mouth shut. But those that don't have understanding, they just run off their mouth all the time. Run off your mouth. It'll get you into trouble. If you have great understanding, and people who know how to be silent, people esteem them as a person of great understanding. So if you turn that around, that means understanding will teach you how to keep your mouth shut at times. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent, according to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, the first 8 verses, they tell you there's a time for everything. A time for this, a time for that, a time for this, and a time for that. Well, understanding is what gives you the knowledge of those times. Hallelujah. All right. Let's take a look at a few more things here. Throughout the book of Proverbs, it talks about the wise and it talks about the fool. You know, and there's always a contrast. A fool, we are told, has no delight in understanding. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 2. Now, so another way of saying that is this, is if you see someone that does not delight in understanding, well, you can call him a fool. That's another definition of a fool, you know. So a fool will follow his heart, he says, that his heart may discover itself. But they have no understanding of the Lord. I said the other day, don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God. Because, you know, a fool without understanding that wants to follow his heart, we're told here in this verse, you know, basically, or a man without understanding that wants to just follow his heart, basically, he's called a fool. You know, so it is important for us to get, you know, but let me break down, because we'll be talking about understanding. Let me break it down into what it really is. Now, here is a serious part of this lesson. I called understanding insight at the beginning. I said, well, it's insight. Now, I'm going to break it down. I'm going to break it down in the concept of insight. This is really where understanding, you know, where the heart of this today's lesson is at. So I'm going to approach the subject of understanding as though it were insight. Before I get to that, let me just read one verse here in Proverbs 29 and verse 18. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. And then we're going to cover understanding in three different ways. That's how we're going to cover understanding. Now, where there is no vision, right, the people perish. Well, you say, what does that have to do with anything? Skip that. Just keep that in mind. Now, let me talk to you about understanding from three different perspectives. Insight has three dimensions. Now, my own definition of understanding is actually insight. So insight has three dimensions. There is what's called hindsight. There's what's called insight. And there's what's called foresight. That's all part of insight, really. Now, hindsight is the ability to gain what you might call understanding and enlightenment. You know, learning from the past, building on past either mistakes, learning from past mistakes, or building on past successes. Using that understanding to prepare for a better tomorrow. So, the ability to gain insight, I'm going to explain insight in a minute. The ability to gain insight from your past. That's called hindsight. Hindsight is, you look back, something is already passed, then you learn from it. Well, that's hindsight. People say, well, in hindsight. Well, that's hindsight. You know, but it is actually insight about something from the past. We learn from it. Now, insight itself, you know, is understanding, you know, that covers not only now, not only the past, now, the future. It's all there. Insight is really understanding. The ability for you to have deep comprehension, analyze the situation, and understand, you know, the implications of scenarios, and be able to make a decision that will lead to a better outcome. That's understanding, but that's insight. To have insight into a situation, and you might be able to get a solution, or find a solution where others may not. But let me say this about, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Hindsight is for yesterday. Insight is for today. And foresight is for tomorrow. But let's look at it this way. Today is all we have. Yesterday is already gone. Tomorrow may never be here. I mean, when we get to tomorrow, it will be today. You know, so there is no tomorrow, really. It's always today. Now, tomorrow is out there, you know, conceptually, but you can never be in tomorrow. You're always in today. You know, you can look at the clock. In fact, you know, I had a laugh about this many years ago. I was a young man. A friend of mine looked, you know, it was almost midnight, you know, on the campus, and he said, "Oh, we're not yet in tomorrow," because it was just a minute to midnight. And I said, "You can never be in tomorrow." He said, "What do you mean? We'll be in tomorrow in a minute or so." I said, "No, in a minute or so, you'll be in today." Praise God. You will still be in today. What you thought was tomorrow, when you get there, will be today. This is the mystery about insight, hindsight, and foresight. It's always today. You cannot be in yesterday, and you cannot really be in tomorrow. Now, prophetically, you know, the eye of the prophet, God can take you into the past. You know, he can even give you insight into the past, prophetically. You know, there are a lot of people in the Bible, like Moses and all these people that wrote incredible things. Moses was not there when, you know, God was doing things in Genesis. I didn't know all those things. You know, God took him to the past. He can do that with prophets, you know, and it can also take you into the future. But for you, you are always in the present. You can't be in yesterday. It's gone. No matter how you wish, you can't go back to yesterday. And we can prepare for tomorrow, but when you get there, it'll be today. Now, and that doesn't mean that we should not prepare for tomorrow. We should. You see that in a few minutes. But it's always today. I hope everybody understands that. When the clock clocks midnight and you cross over into what you thought was tomorrow, it's actually today. Because it's always today. You know, so now here is the law of, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From my point of view of insight. You can never and you will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. That's it. Now, let me say that again. You'll never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. Now, whether that past was filled with failures or successes, the same thing. You need to move beyond that past. Now, people, you know, if your past was good, filled with success, and you don't move beyond that, then you will be resting on your oars. You know, that you achieved one thing, and then you thought that was all. And then that's all you will be. You won't get more. You know, great visionaries and people who accomplish great things, you know, they never stop at trying to discover and achieve more. They build on past successes. Now, let's say if it was failures. What about if it was failure? Same thing. If you are always living in the past, you will never be better. You know, and this is the way I put it. I said some people have their hand, their finger, constantly on that rewind button. You know how you can rewind the audio and go backwards? You know, that's people are constantly doing that with their lives. You know. Well, unfortunately, in reality, you can't do that. Now, you can, of course, learn from the past rather than considering it a failure. You know, you can say, "No, I've learned something." You learn how it does not work. Instead of saying you failed at the thing, well, you turn it around and say, "Well, I learned that it doesn't work that way." You know, so now I've picked up some lesson based on hindsight. See, at the time that you were in there, you thought it was going to work. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. You thought it was going to work, but now you find that it didn't work. That's hindsight. Because after the fact, now you look back and say, "Wow, you know, I don't know. I can't imagine how I could have been that foolish." Hey, well, that's hindsight, you see. But insight at the moment We give you, if you use understanding at the moment, you will not have to fall back on hindsight to learn. Now, many people learn only from hindsight. Some people still even don't learn from hindsight. You know, so, but you won't be better. You will never be better than you were yesterday. That's a punchline from today. You will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. That's it. Whether the past was failure or success, it's the same thing. We need to move forward. Don't stay down. Get up. Don't stay put. Keep pressing forward. I say that again. Don't stay down. Get up. Don't stay put. Keep pressing forward. Now, I love the way that Micah chapter 7 verse 8 puts it. He said, look, you know, I've been knocked down, but I'm not going to stay down. It looks like I'm in darkness right now, but I know Lord's going to be a light unto me. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. You know, for when I fall, I shall arise. I will not stay down for that count. Even when it looks like I'm in darkness, the Lord is going to be a light unto me. That's Micah 7 and 8. Now, in the book of Exodus chapter 14, you read the story of Moses at the Red Sea. Pharaoh charging down behind them. The only thing keeping them was the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire that was there, the blazing fire and so forth, scaring the chariots. They can't go through. Meanwhile, the Red Sea is in front of them. Pharaoh on their back. Nowhere to go. They are trapped. And people crying out to Moses. Moses crying out to the Lord. And the Lord said, what are you crying to me for? What's in your hand? And then he told him, well, you know, use what's in your hand. But go forward, he said. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15. Go forward. Now that's so critical. We must go forward. You gotta stay there. As long as you stay right there, it'll continue to be the Red Sea. But you must go forward. Go forward. Here's what Paul said in Philippians 3 and 14. He said, look, I count not myself to have, you know, attained, but I press forward. I'm always pressing forward toward the mark. You got to press forward. You can't stay on only your previous achievements, assuming that it was even good. You got to press forward. If you go to school and you are in first grade, you can't stay in first grade. You got to press forward. When you are in seventh grade, you can't stay there. You got to press forward. When you are, you know, a freshman in college, in high school, you got to press. Even when you are a sophomore, you can't stay there. You got to finish. When you're junior, senior, whatever. And when you finish that one, well, you can stay there if you want, but you can do more. See, more and more and more and more. There's always more. And even when you get to the top, and people who are even at the top of their skill level, you know, so maybe they have a PhD, there is always, you know, continuous learning and continuous improvement. You know, you should learn something every day. We talked about that when we did knowledge. You should learn. You know, so don't stay and, you know, dwell on the past. Use the hindsight. You could learn from that, but use it to move forward. Now, God promises us a new thing. Let's read Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. There are things that God has done, and we appreciate him, and we thank him for it. But we cannot sit in what God did of old. Here's what he's saying. In some places, God will remind them of what he did, just to help them to believe that if I did that then, I can do it again now. You know. But here, he's telling them, don't rest on your oars. Don't settle for what I did in the past. There is more. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Don't consider the things of old. I will do a new thing. Don't just sit down there and say, look, This is the prayer that we should be praying. Lord, take me to the place where I've never been. Hallelujah. Not where I've been, but where I've never been. Not what I've done, but what I've never done. Not what I've seen, but what I've never seen. Jeremiah 33 and 3 says, show me, you know, say, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Show me, Lord, what I've never known. Take me to the place where I've never been. In fact, take me to the place where I could not go. Yeah, hallelujah. Make me what I cannot become on my own. Show me greater heights that I could never attain. You know, this is how, you know, understanding of insight, of hindsight and foresight will bring you to this place. You know, so you must trust the Lord for new horizons. Now, what about foresight? Well, foresight is a good one. And the best example of that is for me to put it this way. The future that you see today is where you will be tomorrow. Simple. You can take that as a punchline. The future you see today, what we call tomorrow, we've got to see it today in order to even get there. You know, if you think, you know, the people that sadly take their lives is because they can't see tomorrow. They can't see a better tomorrow. So they just think end of the road and take their lives. Well, that's a devil's lie. There is always hope of a tree, according to Job chapter 14 and verses 7 through 9. There is hope of a tree that though it be cut down, yet through the scent of water, it will bud again. Though it rot in the earth and all of these things, wax old and so forth, the scent of water and bring it alive. We did a room like that a couple months or so back. You know, so, but the future that you see tomorrow, I mean, today is where you can get to tomorrow. You got to see it. Guess how God put it to Abraham in Genesis 13. Verses 14 to 15. You know, it says basically your future is limited by what you can see now. That's how great visionaries make advancement beyond others. Most people can't see beyond the present. Well, great visionaries, they have strategic, you know, foresight, strategic thinking. Actually, strategic leaders and thinkers. I mean, strategic thinkers are leaders of great companies. That's what they are. We talked about that when we talk about counsel. You know, so God said to Abraham in Genesis 13, after he and Lot were departed, and where they were separated, you know. And of course, you know, Lot was an anchor, a bad anchor that was holding Abraham down. And he had to cut him loose. And some anchors you have to cut loose. When you're trying to set sail and that thing's holding you down, you got to cut it loose. So God said to him, look, you know, he said, lift up thine eyes now. Genesis 13 and 14. And look from the place where you are. Now that's today. From where you are right now, that's today. But I want you to look northward, eastward, southward, westward, all of this. That's like, look around you. See the future. See the possibilities. But you got to see it today. You can see the possibilities, but you got to see it right now. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now, but if you don't see it, I can't give it to you. You know, you got to see it first in order for me to give it to you. Can somebody say hallelujah? That's it. You got to see it for me to give it to you. If you don't see it, I can't give it to you. What did Jesus say in John chapter 16 and verse 13? This is so powerful. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will show you things to come. That's the last part of John 16 and verse 13. Now, when people read that, they're thinking of some prophetic event that happening around the world that the Holy Spirit will show. Holy Spirit is your personal guide through life, you know. Leave the prophetic events and so forth to prophets. For you, the Holy Spirit, when he says he will show you things to come, it means exactly this, that God is telling Abraham here. The Holy Spirit will show you by the mind of the Holy Spirit when you engage with Him, when you align yourself with Him, He will show you possibilities as things to come. You can already see, you can see yourself healed if you're sick right now. You see yourself healed. Hallelujah. If you are struggling with whatever right now, you see a better outcome already. Praise God. You know, I mean, if you don't have a job right now, you see yourself with in a wonderful job. You see yourself in a good career. You see it now. You know, Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You see it now, not for you to get there. God said, look, what you see today is what I will give you tomorrow. That's what He's telling Abraham here. So this is so powerful stuff. Now, this is foresight. Now, people who do great things in life, they exhibit this trait. They're always seeing great things. Technology, technologists and people who have given us great things in technology, that's it. They are always seeing and dreaming, you know, great things. Now, dream dreams. You know, see visions. Increase your horizon. He said, look, what you see is what I can give you. You know, think it. Think big. Doesn't Ephesians 3 and 20 tell you that? That God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or even think. That means imagine. But you got to think it. You got to imagine it. You got to see it. But it takes the Holy Spirit to help you align with what God is actually got in store for you. You may be thinking something that it's not God's will. You know, that's where John chapter 16 and verse 13 comes into play. You know, your natural mind may be thinking and imagining vain things that are not in line with God's will. But when you align with the Holy Spirit, He will show you things to come. This is how Jesus operated. You know, the Father showed Him first, then He did. He said, I only do what my Father shows me. You know, and He tells them, look, I've shown you a work and you marvel. What were you going to do when my Father shows me greater works? You know, and then, so He never did anything until the Father showed Him something. Well, what the Father was to Jesus is what the Holy Spirit is to us now. You know, so Holy Spirit will show you. Don't lean on your own understanding. We read that already. So when I'm thinking, somebody saying, think big, this, don't do it in the flesh. That's not going to work. Who is it that saith and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Lamentation 3 and 37. But when it is the Holy Spirit showing it to you, hallelujah, you know, then you know that you got to latch onto that. But if you don't understand that that is one of the most critical roles of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will miss it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's your personal guide through life. You know, you engage with Him. You know, I have this sickness. I have this thing in my body right now. But I see myself healed. Because the Holy Spirit showed it to me. Glory to God. You know, I see, you know, somebody may be in a wheelchair today. They may see themselves walking. The Holy Spirit showed it to them. Hallelujah. They believe God. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Now, talk about your career. Talk about, you know, you want to be an entrepreneur. You want to do all these great things. You want to go into business. Holy Spirit must show you, for that thing to succeed, Holy Spirit must show you, and then you must learn the knowledge of the Holy Spirit. You know, but the future that you see today is what you can achieve tomorrow. This is so powerful. Now, the choices also, let me say it again today, just the choices that we make today will shape your tomorrow. You know, and some of the what we are living today, the life you are living today, for the most part, will be a result of some of the choices you made in the past. You know, where you are today probably is a choice that you made before. Now, life is full of choices. So make the right choices today to secure better outcomes for tomorrow. You know, now, it is very crucial for us to always make the right choice in life. Whether it's about Christ's lordship in your life, that's the most important thing that someone can do, is to decide that, look, I cannot govern myself in life. I need a governor. Governor, that's Lord. You know, people say the Lord is my shepherd. Well, but is the shepherd your Lord? That's the question. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, that's cool. But is the shepherd your Lord? Yeah, that's a decision we make. the most powerful decision in life, to make him our governor. You know, out of thee, though thou be least among all the cities of Judah, thou Bethlehem, out of thee shall come for one that will be governor among my people, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. So he needs to be governor in our lives. Now, that's what he was intended to be from the beginning. That's the greatest decision we got to make in life. And when you make that decision, there are other decisions, marriage, career, you know, career, marriage, business, all these things and so forth. Very important stuff. You got to make the right choices, you know, and a choice that to put your head down and study, you know, to come out better and to have an advantage is a decision you are going to make today. Some people don't want it because they don't want to pay the price. No, but some people decide, well, I'm going to pay the price now for a better outcome later. Well, you know, it's choices. You can shape your tomorrow by the choices you make today. Where you are today sometimes is a reflection of choices you made in the past. But there is always an opportunity to correct something. That's why we're teaching these lessons. You can still fix the cracks. Just because there's a crack in a house doesn't mean you let it get worse and worse and worse. You can fix the cracks or go back to find the reason why the thing was cracking in the first place, which is probably these pillars that are not setting right. And strengthen the pillars. Understand these things. Hallelujah. Now, David, he had insight into the issue of Goliath. And he used his hindsight of previous victories to analyze the situation and see a victory for himself that is going to come out of this conflict. You know, so that story right there wraps it up. 1 Samuel 17, verses 26 to 52, will tell you the story of David versus Goliath. But he was relying on what he knew the Lord did for him in the past. That's like hindsight. Hindsight is not always bad. You can use it for good. Now, he analyzed the current situation. It's insight. And he saw himself having victory. And he declared it over this guy. Said, you know, I will have him. The Lord will deliver him. He's nobody. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. God delivered the lion to my hand, the bear. This one? No. I'm going to finish him off. You know, he already saw himself victorious. Now, so you can see how that flows. Hindsight, insight, and foresight. And you will not be any better today than you were yesterday if you do not move back, move beyond your past. So some of us have made some mistakes, things that we regret in the past. Well, you can stay there, you know, wallow in the regret, or you can learn from that, you know, give yourself, you know, unreservedly back to the Lord, ask for his mercy, and then move forward. That's it. That's better than just wallowing in the problem or disappointments or failures or disasters of the past. You can't change the past. It's already happened. You know, it is what it is. And it was what it was. I mean, maybe if you had exercised more wisdom, more caution, more discretion, more understanding and all of these things, maybe whatever it is that you regret today would not have happened. Okay. But it has happened, if it has happened. And now here is where you are. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to keep your hand on the rewind button and keep rewinding back. And keep, you know, feeling sorry for yourself, you know. No, you know, I tell people, look, if you're going to be rewinding, do the rewind once. Erase it and record new memories. Hallelujah. But don't keep going back to those old memories, you know. Yes, there were some things, there were some shadowy things, there were some bad decisions, there were some whatever you did. You know, today you now regret and you wish you could have done it better, but you can't go back. So what can you do? Well, learn from that and strengthen yourself for better outcome starting now. That's all you can do. You cannot go back. You can't change it. In fact, our lives journey, same thing. We can't change the past, but we can confess our sins of the past, ask for God's forgiveness, and enter into a new covenant of a new life with Him. We can do that, but you can't change the past. You know, so, and the Lord will not hold your past against you forever if you bring that past to the cross. But if you don't, it'll be on your head. It's not God going to hold it against you. It's just already there, and it's not blotted out if you didn't come to the cross. But when you come to the cross, then it's blotted out. And it's blotted out. You know, and listen, it's not only people think that the blotting out, that, let me just say this right now, because Holy Spirit is moving on me to say this. You know, people think that the blotting out that happens is only before you are saved. Before you are saved, God blots out your transgressions. And once you are saved, if you make a blunder, it's too late. That is somebody that, if you think like that, you have no understanding of God at all. You know. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with Him. He's still there. That is a ministry that Jesus, of Jesus, that is still continuing today. The ministry of intercession. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. He finished one ministry on the earth, said He's finished. There's another one that is not finished. He's still doing it. You know, He's in ministry of intercession. He's still doing it today. And so, ladies and gentlemen, don't think that it's a one-time forgiveness only, and then after that, you are on your own. Well, that's what the Bible says, having begun in the spirit, now trying to be made perfect in the flesh. You can't do it that way. Trust God again, even if you fail. Come back to the Lord. Now, we're not encouraging people to continue to do the wrong thing. No. How shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? And I'm not preaching this hyper-grace thing that people talk about. No. But I'm saying that, like the prodigal son, you can say, I come to my senses and I'm returning to the Father. And Jesus gave us that lesson for a reason. And no matter how screwed up you were in the past, no matter what you did in the past, you know, Jesus says, come unto me. Hallelujah. Even now. Ladies and gentlemen, you came unto Him once before, you know, but along the way, you were foolish, you stumbled, and you fell. And Jesus is still reaching out His hand to you. Come. You know, these people, they were with the Lord from the beginning. They believed on Him. Peter believed on the Lord. And all the disciples, you know, they believed on Him. And they followed Him. In fact, Peter said, look, we've left everything. We followed you. And so forth. They believed on Him. You know, and everything. And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will be in you, is with you now. You know, Jesus was with them at the moment. And they did all, He did all He could to train them and so forth, but some of them still fell. But what did they do? What's the difference between Peter and Judas? Well, they both fell from, you know, the knowledge of truth. They denied Him. So, but one repented with godly remorse. The other one didn't, hung himself. You know, so no matter where we are today, no matter what screwed up thing you did, come to the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a great fixer-upper. He can fix it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He'll fix it too. He'll clean that up. And when He fixes us up like that, He also will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not just forgive our sins. Forgive is only one part, but He will cleanse you. That means change that nature of sin. Give you a new heart. Hallelujah. I'll give them a new heart, He says. And the same thing with decisions. If you are prone, your life was prone to being chaotic, you know, come to the Lord and let's see if He'll give you a change. Now, let me do the benefits of understanding quickly, and then we're going to pray. Understanding helps to hold up the house that was built by wisdom. It strengthens the cracks. We read that in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 to 4. I'm giving a summary now. Understanding will also bring happiness. Now, this is a new verse. I haven't read this before. So let's read it. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. Understanding will bring you happiness. You know, if you have understanding, you know, here's how he puts it. He said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. You know, so if you have understanding, it will bring you happiness. Happy is you. Happy are you when you get understanding and wisdom. Okay. So here are a few more benefits of understanding. It will bring good things into your life. We already read that in other parts, but let's read this one in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8. Understanding will bring good things to your life. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. So understanding will bring good things into your life. Now, you need to have understanding of this lesson about understanding. So that, you know, it will bring you real good. Hallelujah. Now, so here's another one. Understanding will cause you to depart from evil. Job chapter 28:28 said, to depart from evil, that is understanding. What about Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6? I mean, let's look at the value of understanding. What does it say? It says, well, you know, give me a second here. Okay, and that's not the one I wanted to read. Proverbs 14, verse 29. Okay, let me take a look at that one. Proverbs 14 and verse 29. Pull up and read that. He that is slow to wrath, so great understanding. But he that is of hasty spirit exalteth folly. You know, we covered this before. So understanding will help you, you know, to keep your temper down. Manage that by understanding, you know. And so don't always fly off the handle and so forth. There are some people in the Bible that were called the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times. Remember we talked about Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 to 8, where it says, you know, there's a time for this, there's a time for that, there's a time to speak, there's a time to not speak, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up that which is planted, all kinds of things, you know. But it is understanding that gives you, you know, knowledge of those times. When you speak, when you keep quiet. That's understanding. The book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 12 and verse 32. These sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times. They knew the seasons. They knew the times. You know, they understood it beyond their brethren. And this thing actually gave them an advantage. Hallelujah. He says, and the children of Issachar, which were of them that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, you know, said they were, you know, heads of them were 200 and all their brethren were at their commandment. You know, these people that had understanding, people were at their commandment. Their understanding gave them an advantage over their brethren, you know. So understanding is so key. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we need to pray to get understanding. And I am going to give us a prayer that we are going to pray here today. We must pray that the Lord will give us this pillar of wisdom, which is understanding and insight in our lives by the inspiration of the Almighty through daily ingesting the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Let me read that as part of this, our prayer, as we round up this lesson. This was the prayer that Paul said, well, when I heard of your faith and so forth, you know, I cease not to pray for you concerning all these things. He said, I cease not to give thanks unto you, for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory of the inheritance in the saints, and to understand the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, and so on and so forth. He began to pray for them along these lines. Now, this is the prayer of the believer. This is not the prayer of the unbeliever. No unbeliever can pray this prayer. They can't. Unbelievers can pray that God should help me, you know, save me from this, save me from that, you know, save me. I mean, when they are in trouble, they pray. Unbelievers pray. When they need things from God, they pray. But they can't pray this prayer that is right here. They can't. No unbeliever can pray and say, Lord, let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened so that I may know the hope of your calling. Let me understand the riches of your glory and among, you know, the inheritance I have among the saints. You know, let me understand the exceeding greatness of your power, which you wrought in raising Christ up from the dead to make him sit. I mean, they can't pray that kind of prayer. All they pray is, God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, do the other for me. So we need to be distinguished, you know, from unbelievers in the way we pray. You know, this is the kind of prayer that we need to be praying. Walking with God, understanding God, then all these other things falling into play. You know, so that's going to be our prayer today. And it's not just about, Father, give me this, Father, give me that, Father, give me this. Jesus said, look, this is all the things that the heathen are after, Matthew chapter 6. They are constantly saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, this, praying to God. He said, but you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Now, we need to seek understanding. Understanding is what gives us the ability to comprehend the things of the kingdom. Now, Job 32 verse 8, powerful stuff. You know, we'll give examples of how that scripture has worked. Not today, later on, because today has been a long room. Now, Psalm 119 verse 130, you hear me say that all the time also. Entrance of your word, you know, brings light and gives understanding. If you sit in darkness right now, you are confused, you don't know what to do, search the scriptures. But the entrance of his word will give light, will shed light on the situation. There is nothing that God does not have an answer for in the Bible. If it's not there, then you don't need to know it. If you have a question, there's no answer in the Bible, that's not a question that you need an answer for. You know, and the answer may be as simple as trust in the Lord with all your heart. That may be the answer. That's a blanket answer for that, you know, things too. Or it may be the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. You know, he will lead you. So rely on the Holy Spirit. Link up with the Holy Spirit. You know, get plugged in to the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. So that's going to be our prayer lesson today. Let me just wrap up the things that that's going to be our prayer over this lesson today. Let me just wrap up the things that we've talked about today. Today has been about understanding or insight. And we covered various things, the definitions of understanding. We call it the ability for deep comprehension, perception, and discernment. We call it the, you know, superior power of discernment and enlightened intelligence. You know, we also call it the knowledge of or familiarity with a particular thing, you know, and the skill in dealing with or handling something, you know. Then we spoke about, you know, multiple aspects of understanding. In particular, I spoke about insight as a three-dimensional thing. Hindsight over the past, insight for the future, insight for the present, and foresight for the future. You know, and I said, you know, we can't always stay in the back, in the past. We got to move forward. You will never be better than you were yesterday unless you learn to move beyond your past. And take your finger off that rewind button and move forward. Also, the future that you see today is where you can arrive tomorrow. You got to see it today. You know, as God said to Abraham, look for it. When you see it, I will give it to you. Look around you. What you see is what I will give you. Praise the Lord. That means also enlarge the place of your tents. You know, enlarge your horizon. You know, see the farther you see, the farther out you see, the more I will give you. That's what the Lord is saying, you know, to you. And lastly, you know, we talked about, you know, some of the benefits of wisdom. I mean, the understanding, what it will do for you. Now, we're going to pray now. And the lesson, the prayer over this lesson is going to be what I said. Lord, give me the pillar of wisdom called understanding and insight in my life. You know, help me, you know, to always rely on the inspiration of the Almighty through digesting His word and getting plugged into the Holy Spirit. Give me understanding of the things that the Holy Spirit would want to show me concerning things to come. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus now over everyone that's in this room, beginning with myself, that you will give us understanding. Give us even understanding of the times and the seasons. Give us understanding of the things of God, the mind of Christ. Give us understanding, Lord, of the things which are freely given to us by God. Give us understanding, Lord, of the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us through life. Help us, Lord, not to lean on our own understanding, but to trust in you with all our hearts. Thank you for the inspiration of the Almighty. Teach us more and more daily to practice this, to see better outcomes. And as we think about our past, maybe the failures of the past especially, Father, we want to bring it to the cross. And we thank you because you said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you. And I am he that blotted out your transgressions, your screw-ups for my own sake. Say, I blotted it out. And here is a new beginning. I will do a new thing. Hallelujah. Show us that new thing, Lord. Help us to believe and engage with the Holy Spirit, you know, to get that better outcome of a new thing. Learning from the past, using that to gain advantage for the present and even the future. Thank you, Father. And we pray, Lord, that these things that we learn, the understanding thereof will be in our hearts so that the devil will not pluck them out of our heart. We'll be able to apply them for better outcome in our lives. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.